Mr. Svetlana.
Can you hear me now? All right. We do have the promise that it is the Spirit of God that actually connects to our spirit. And His Spirit searches our spirit. And in the most difficult times of our lives, when we actually do not know how to pray, He searches the Spirit, and Scripture says, Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, describes it this way. His Spirit searches our spirit, and although we know not how to pray, how to verbalize, how to cry out in the midst of the most desperate situations, because we do not know, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. And I think this is the most amazing thing that we have from the Lord. That His Spirit at all times searches our spirit and knows the depth of my cry. He knows the depth of your cry. He knows what's going in life. And in the midst of it, He connects to you. He is not impersonal God. He is not only personal, but He is in the midst of every happening in your life and cries out, although you do not know, because you do not know the future, you have no idea how to address the future. And He cries out on your behalf. And He gives the best prayer request that enters the courts of heaven on your behalf. So be encouraged today that as we have come into His presence, and as we have come as one body and called out to Him, then His supernatural presence is right here in our midst. It's December, it's the first Sunday of December. And so I will say Merry Christmas to all of you. We have begun to enjoy Christmas as a season, you know, I think right after Thanksgiving. People couldn't wait for Thanksgiving to be over so they can decorate for Christmas. And that is all a good thing. But sometimes a little bit too much of a good thing can really overpower and overstress us. So I'd like for Sarah to roll a video to just get us into the right mood for Christmas this morning.
It's the Christmas season. It's that time of year when you unbury all the decorations from the attic and the garage. You put up the Christmas tree. You find that missing stocking with the reindeer on it. You clean out the gutters so that you can string up the lights before it snows or you're the last dark house on the block. The kids have road games, early practices, that huge history project, and final tests to study for, along with 5 different Christmas parties and your son's extra holiday hours at his part-time job. When can you start driving again? Don't forget to write down the dates and times for the performances and the rehearsals of the programs at church, at school, in at the senior center where they want you to come dressed up as an elf. In tights. Then there's the shopping. Your son wants a new gaming system that can read his mind. Your daughter wants a doll that you're going to have to make payments on. Your sister's emailed you 3 times asking what you want for Christmas and why you haven't just gotten an Amazon wish list set up already. Your spouse thinks maybe the two of you should just get each other a new furnace for Christmas, or maybe just donate all the gift money to orphans in Cambodia. And then there's the Secret Santa thing at work. What's a white elephant gift again, anyway? The school sent home a note saying half the kids have strep. Your spouse came home with a box of double extra strength cough medicine and a case of Kleenex boxes. You're pretty sure there was something wrong with that last piece of fruitcake you just ate. And your daughter's so stuffy she looks and sounds just like Rudolph. Christmas is at your parents' house this year. And at your spouse's brother's place down south. And at your aunt's place on the lake. If the weather's nice and your kids sleep in the car, you might just make it to all three. And you should make sure that you stop in at the office party for at least a little while. Also, your friends are in town, so could you set aside a night of the week to do a special Christmas just with them? Oh, and can we do it at your house? Your boss needs you to make sure you get that project done before Christmas, even though he's going to be out of town until January. And you have to cover for your coworker who spends every Christmas in Hawaii. Also, none of your contractors will answer the phone after December 15th. Plus, you need to make that green bean dish you're so good at for Christmas dinner, and that peppermint dessert all the kids love for the other Christmas dinner, and something gluten-free for Uncle Dale, and a backup ham, just in case your mom's stove blinks out again. Also, there's cookies and carols at the church on Saturday afternoon. Everybody bring 2 dozen. Oh, and don't forget, Jesus is the reason for the season.
Can you hear me? All right.
So I thought I would entitle this morning conversation, God on Mission is the Reason for the Season. Often, we do forget what Christmas is all about. And I think even as Christians, we do forget what Christmas is all about. And this morning, it would be fitting for us to begin the December Christmas season saying, Merry God on Mission season. Because that is really what Christmas is all about. Merry Christmas is all about God entering your space as Emmanuel. And when we say Merry Christmas, it is about Merry God on Mission Christmas. So, happy God on Mission Christmas. I would like to begin the December Christmas season with something that just dovetails beautifully with a sermon series that we began on discipleship, following in the footsteps with Jesus, and would transition us to walk into his footprints, and especially around Christmas. So I'd like to look at a couple of the scriptures that the gospel writers greet us with this morning in this Christmas season. See, Matthew says it this way. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Luke says it this way. Do not be afraid. These are words of the angel as he was addressing the shepherds that were minding their own business in the middle of a night. And all of a sudden, they got scared out of their wits because an angel and then an angelic host showed up, interrupted their peaceful night sleep, and said this to them. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. So the first Christmas greetings went something like that. Merry God with you. Happy God with you season. And the other one was, happy joyful season, because this God with you is not just for a small people group. It's not for an isolated ethnicity.
It is not for a small geographical location, but this God with you, God Emmanuel, is with all the people. This God, that is God with all the people, entered real historic time about 2,000 years ago, interrupted the flow of human life, and inserted himself in the midst of all of your happenings. And this God, who came as God, Emmanuel, with us, didn't just come 2,000 years ago, ascended back to heaven and forgot about you and me, but remains with his presence right there in the midst of everything that's going on in your life. And I thought we would look a little bit closer of why did Jesus come? What made him forsake everything? We talked so much the last couple of Sundays as I brought the word about in his footsteps, about the uneven exchange that Jesus did. He came from heaven to earth, and it wasn't a simple deal. He shed everything that was of value to get something that has no value to make it valuable again. He came in humbleness and shed everything that as the Son of God he could claim as God. And he became the Son of Man, and he called himself the Son of Man, so he can be truly God with us, Emmanuel. I want to read from John chapter 4. And what really struck me this morning, there was such a heavy presence of God. I'm sure it was with the worship team as they began to even practice and rehearse here before we came into the service. But there was such a heavy presence of God during worship as we were all singing to the Lord praises from our hearts, telling God how we feel about what we read and about what comes out of spontaneous adoration to him. And what was amazing to me is, as Lee was referring, there is such presence of God here. And if you want to feel the Lord, you know, come towards the front. There is a presence going on here. They were singing out of John chapter 4. What we were singing about, we will worship you in spirit and in truth. And it struck me very interesting because the scripture that I have prepared, you can go to the next one. It's from John chapter 4. And it's right after the context that this worship song was setting for us. Jesus was addressing with the Samaritan woman that we need to enter a season in life when we will begin to worship God, not out of obligation, not out of regulation, not out of tradition, but we will enter a season in our life when we will begin to worship God in spirit and in truth. And when we step into that reality of our lives, then something phenomenal was going to happen. We were going to understand. We have a $20, you know, plate right here that goes for missions. For those of you that forget to turn off your phones, that's what you do. But something extraordinary happens when we enter the season of life, when we begin to worship God in spirit and in truth. Then finally, and for the first time, we actually get it, what it means, that he came as Emmanuel, that he came as God with us,
that Jesus was not stopped by the difficulties.
Difficulty is a very soft word. We preached a couple of sermons now that
what he had to give up was unimaginable to us. But none of that was going to stop him, because he has worshipers that worship him in spirit and in truth. And those worshipers now can understand what it means that he has seen from the heavenly perspective the harvest fields. Because the harvest fields are white and ripe unto harvest. Let's read the scripture now. So Jesus' disciples had gone to look for food somewhere because they were on a journey, Jesus and his disciples. And they have approached Samaria. Now, that's, again, one of those not kosher places. You know, it has a lot of people. The Jews don't usually mingle, don't talk. Males don't talk to females, period. But you don't really mingle much with Samaritans anyhow. You do not talk with them. And so as the disciples went to find food and bring it back to Jesus, he was sitting by a well to rest. And while he was alone, he engaged this woman about her worship relationship with God. And as he began to explain to her what it means to really have a relationship with God, where you would worship him in spirit and in truth, the disciples come back, and this scripture comes out of that context. So they see him talking with a woman. They don't dare to question their rabbi, their leader, but they really have huge red flags flying every which direction. Because here a male talks to a female, here a Jew talks to a Samaritan. It's a taboo. So they approach him, and he says this to them. Let's not talk about food. Because my food, my essential needs are met by doing the will of him who sent me. And I'm all about accomplishing his work. And I'm all about that, Jesus is saying to his disciples. But you know what? By now, my friends, my followers, those of you that now come and tell me you're committed followers of Christ, I'm telling you now, I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Wow. Jesus had only one focus, and one focus only. And for Jesus, the ripe fields were broken communities. They were those communities all around them that were filled with desperate people that are lost in their spiritual quest for God. They were in need of a Savior and had no clue how to get to God. And because the communities had no clue, the desperate people lost in their spiritual quest with a huge, big, gaping hole in their hearts had no clue how to get to God. God had to get to them. So for that reason, we celebrate Christmas. For God said, I will not leave you orphans, but I will come. I will actually give my only begotten Son, the most precious everything that is irreplaceable. It is the only begotten Son. And I will give you, for your sake, my begotten Son to now become part of you. And he will come and enter the harvest fields. And he, Emmanuel, God with us, people, will begin to walk your human experience. And because the harvest fields are white unto harvesting, they're so overburdened with desperation. And they're so heavy laden. Their heads are just completely down because of grief. And because the fruit now of the grain has come to the fullness, it's going to burst out, crying in grief and mourning. And because Satan has so tormented the souls of those desperate, lost in their spiritual quest people, their heads had bowed down to the point of falling on the ground. I'm telling you, my followers, open your eyes and see the fields. They're now ripe for you to enter in and begin the picking. People are not going to resist you. They will hear the message of love, the good news that you bring in a Savior that has come, that has died for them in their place, had taken their guilt on, and now is casting a white stone on your behalf, saying, not guilty, because in me you have forgiveness. In my substitution of dying in your place, you have life. For I not only died, but I also resurrected in your place. Now you can resurrect with me, and everything old can now become new. So in that harvest field, the grain is ready. And he was just talking to his disciples. You look in that woman, and you see a foreigner, a taboo. You see a marginalized where you should not even enter into their community. But I'm calling you and saying, if you truly follow me, then look at that harvest. I was pointing to Samaria and to that woman, not only an outcast, but lived with several men of no reputation woman. And I'm pointing to you, Jesus is saying to his disciples. And I'm telling you, this is the person ready for the picking. Open your eyes and enter the harvest field with me. For if you're going to celebrate Christmas season with me, you better know what Christmas is all about. For God on mission is the real reason for the season. God is on mission to save the fallen humanity. For he loves us so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that no one that believes in him will perish, but actually would have eternal life. He's all about for the whosoever may believe. And I'm right there, ready to pick that whosoever, Jesus is saying. And he's calling on you and me to enter the harvest field for the whosoever. And sometimes we say, oh, well, but they're not all going to listen. But who cares? Yes, they're not. But the whosoever, he died for the whosoever, for the one that might be ready for the picking. Enter the harvest field for that one. And be sensitive to pick that grain that's ready to fall. So Jesus exchanged with the whosoever his garment of praise for their despair, his oil of joy for their mourning, his crown of beauty for the ashes of grief. By the way, I'm pulling those from a prophetic utterance that Isaiah had about Jesus, about the Messiah, about the Christ, way before he came into human history.
Isaiah 61:3 says, and provide for those. He, Jesus, will provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness. Can you imagine this Samaritan woman in all of her filth, in all of her sin, in all of her affairs, being called righteous and being called an oak of righteousness, being placed now on a platform approved of Jesus Christ. Jesus Emmanuel going into her neighborhood, doing life together with her, taking her from where she was, reshaping her, transforming her, and planting her as an oak of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. Wow. Do you realize that a lot of us have a similar story as the Samaritan woman? That you and I all carry history. And we were all ripe for the picking. And unless somebody was willing to enter the harvest field for you and me, we would just have fallen to the ground. And nothing was going to amount of us. But because in His love and grace, God has sent workers into the harvest field, you and I have been picked by Him, have been transformed by Him, and you and I now stand as the oak of righteousness, and we are on display to show His splendor. To me, this is an amazing mercy of God. This is God Emmanuel with us. Jesus was determined that His ministry would be a public ministry, and He will enter the neighborhood of every broken community. He wasn't going to stay behind the closed doors of a synagogue. He wasn't going to stay behind a closed circle of friends, but He was going to be out there reaching into the harvest field of the broken communities that were ready for the picking. And so I just have a short stat that I want to show you here of Jesus' ministry. Jesus made 132 public appearances in the New Testament that are recorded for us. And 122 of them were in the marketplace. Not behind closed doors, but right there in the middle of the harvest field. Of the 52 parables that Jesus told, 45 had a workplace context. Of the recorded words of Christ, 72% are on application. His major preaching ministry was not in the synagogue, but in the marketplace. See, when we talk about a harvest field, sometimes it's easy for us to hide behind shapes and shadows, and you know, it's easy for us to refer in the abstract to something, and it's more difficult for us to actually live it out. The harvest field that Jesus was referring to is really the marketplace. It is your workplace. It is the place where you walk daily. It is your home, and it is your school students. It is where you go every day, like it or not. This is your harvest place. And God has sent you very intentionally to walk the hallways of your schools. And I don't care if they're Christian or non-Christian. There are many people that are lost, both in Christians and non-Christian environments. And so God has sent you there strategically. Look at you. He has chosen you. He has empowered you by His Spirit to walk the hallways of your schools and to enter the harvest and to be very sensitive about the harvest that is ripe for picking. And be bold then to step out and to engage and to reach those that would open to Jesus Christ. Because Jesus came as the first laborer into the harvest field, He had the right to call upon you and me and challenge us to go with Him into the marketplace. If Matt didn't tell us that God came to make His dwelling among us as Emmanuel, then we shouldn't be compelled really to go and make our dwelling among the other people, the ones we try to stay away from. But because Jesus Christ came as the first laborer of the harvest field, He had all the right to look at His disciple and say, and you know how you should be praying? Pray to the Lord of the harvest that He actually would send laborers in that harvest field. Do you know what that means? I think it was His gentle way of saying, and as you pray for the laborers to be sent into the harvest field, make yourself available. Do you think Jesus meant, you know what, my disciples, you follow me, you're very committed to me, but I really don't mean for you to really dirty your hands, make them sticky and smudgy with all of the field that's going around. I do not mean that for you. I mean, like, pray sometime in the future, maybe God, the Lord of the harvest, will send someone, but you really don't need to go there. I have a much easier work for you, since you have stuck so close to me. That wasn't His intention. That wasn't His intention. When He said, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send harvesters in, He meant, look at me. I'm the first laborer, okay? I came, the Son of God, but I call myself the Son of Man. I also came as a servant. I didn't come to lord anything over anybody. And as a servant, I am ready to be a laborer. I'm ready to be a worker. I mean, one of those, the hardest working people you've seen. And I will enter that harvest, and I will engage on any level. And I will talk to the dirtiest of sinners. To the ones that you actually pick a stone to throw at and to kill. I'm actually ready to talk to those people and to begin to work in their lives for transformation purposes. For all of those broken lives are ripe unto harvest. They're ready to be picked. But unless you and I go in, who will do that? Who will do that? So Jesus left us His grace-filled footprints to exemplify, to teach, but most importantly, really, to compel. Because as we look at His example and we get it that He was humble, and as His footprints teach us to be servant-like in our leadership in the world, we cannot but be compelled that if we will adopt His name and if we aspire to get on a Christ-like character, then we have to join Him in His mission in this world. Missio Dei, the mission of God, which is as profound as it is simple, for whosoever I gave, God says, I gave everything that anybody could imagine, anyone could give. The Father God gave the only, only begotten God the Son on your behalf, for you and me. To enter human history, to interrupt your down spiraling existence, and to say there is hope for whosoever believes in that Jesus Christ, in that God with us, in that Emmanuel, then you're not going to perish, but you actually are entering from life to life. Right here, right now, you enter an eternal existence with your Maker, with your Creator. Your spirit that gets to be adopted by the Holy Spirit enters an eternal existence. And now you go from glory to glory, from life to life. For there is no death for those that actually know Christ. For even if they fall asleep, Paul teaches us, then as we awake the next millisecond, we're in his presence. Wow. What a glorious future. That is God's mission. God is on a mission. Jesus Christ, join him in that mission. The question is, are you joining Jesus with God on mission? I love what Christopher Wright puts here. Have a quote for you from his writings. He's a theologian that talks a lot about the mission of God. I thought it's quite on target. He says, it is not so much the case that God has a mission for his church in the world, as that God has a church for his mission in the world. Mission was not made for the church. The church was made for mission, God's mission. Okay? God did not just sit around and thought one day, since I do have a church, let me get my church something to do so they're not idle. That's not how it goes. God looked at the fallen humanity, and before the foundation of the world, as he has decided that he will create the human race in his image and in his likeness, and gave us the option of free will. He knew there will be a fallen humanity, and he had set himself on mission before it ever began. And he has purposed Jesus Christ as his missional instrument to come and to give us hope and to present God among us, doing life with us. God with us, Emmanuel, came. And as he came, he also took with him saints that he shaped and formed into his body. And although he has now ascended and is sitting at the right hand of God, his body, you and me, the church, presents him to a lost humanity that is looking for God with us, Emmanuel, today. Two thousand years later, God is still with us. It is not a distant God. It is a God who resides in the hearts of every one of his body. His body is his representation. That is why he makes you an oak of righteousness, that you portray his splendor into the harvest field. And if God has a mission field for you, and a mission that did not originate with you, but with himself and with his Son, Jesus Christ, he's asking you this morning, are you willing
to enter his harvest field this Christmas season? The workplace is where a majority of Christ followers spend the majority of their time interacting with a majority of the unchurched world. Thus, your marketplace is your harvest field. Your marketplace, whatever that is, most likely for the majority of us sitting right here listening to me, the marketplace, your marketplace, is your workplace. For some of us, might be home. We might be homemakers, and that is our marketplace. And for the students I already talked to and the college kids that we have among us today, school and college is your marketplace. And when you have time of leisure and you walk the streets around, this is your marketplace. And we as a family, when we go out for dinner, this is our family's marketplace. You walk into the restaurants, you walk into the shops, you're going and making all those stressful purchases and you're shoving people around, elbowing people so you can get that one gift that this YouTube video talked about that's going to put you in debt and you're going to be paying month after month for the doll that your daughter wants. That is your marketplace. And I hope you're not going to get caught in buying that doll, okay? Trust me, being there, done that, stupid. Figure that out a little bit too late. That is your marketplace. This is what Jesus is talking about, is your harvest field. And Jesus this morning is saying, would you pray to the Lord of the harvest to send you into the harvest field? Or you would be praying that he would send laborers, other laborers, other, we're very good with abstract love, the abstract, other, please the Lord of the harvest, send laborers. Please the Lord of the harvest, would you send me into the harvest field? Wow. How many of us are willing this Christmas season to be representatives of the Emmanuel, God with us? That we would be his body walking the streets of California, Maryland, Lexington Park, Maryland, Hollywood, Maryland, Lesby, Maryland, just walking the streets of Maryland or Northern Virginia or anywhere you might be from this morning. How many of you are willing to say, I will enter the harvest field to represent his splendor, to represent God with us, Emmanuel? How many of us are going to do that? Thank you so much. Great response. For those of you that said yes, can we all stand up and read this last call for action into the harvest field? And for those of you that agreed to do that, I would love for you to walk to the front as your commitment. Michael, you can come to me. As your commitment to God and to your prayer to him to send you as a worker in the harvest field. So this is my call for action. For this Christmas season, there are only three steps, simple steps. This is what I'm asking you to do. First, pray. And pray in this manner. God, give me people that no one wants. But then, as you touch them, make them into people everyone will take. And as you pray this way, then boldly practice. Enter the harvest field and worship God with everything you do every minute of every day. What does that look like? Practice worshiping God with all your actions, with all your thoughts, with all your commitments. Don't leave God out of the movie theater that you're going into.
Don't leave God out of the bar you decided to walk into. Don't leave God out of the shop you decided to walk in and get yourself into debt that much further. But practice practical worship, real worship, not in the abstract, not tomorrow, not next month when this stressful Christmas season is over, but practice it now. Worship God with all you do, every minute of every day. My challenge to you is in December. We'll reconvene in January, and you can tell me if you begin to practice this in December, I am pretty much sure you would have built some great habits by the time you actually gonna write your New Year's resolution. And then that resolution won't be that dismal, because you would have had the time to change the tide a little bit earlier. And the third step I'm challenging you with is proclaim. Begin to prophetically speak God's purposes into people's lives. That presupposes that we have some knowledge of what God's word says. But I can assure you, even the youngest of us that have walked with Christ for a very short amount of time can tell to people that there is hope because of the name of Jesus Christ. And from there on, begin to speak things, begin to speak words of blessing as the Lord places them on your heart as you meet people this Christmas season. So my challenge to you for this Christmas season, which I call Happy God's on Mission season, my challenge to you is to pray for people that nobody wants, for God to turn them into people that everyone will take, to practice worship style, salt and light lifestyle daily, and to proclaim unashamedly, begin to speak blessings over people as you meet with them. For those of you that would join me in that commitment this December, this Christmas season, the altars are open, and I'm inviting you now to walk to the front and make that commitment publicly, that you will pray, practice, and proclaim the name of Jesus Christ, and that you are actually His body walking among us on earth, that God is Emmanuel being presented by His body on earth, and that people are being touched, broken lives are being mended, lives without any value are being put on platforms with great value because of who Christ now is in their lives. Father, you see all of our hearts. You see the commitment that we have to pray, practice, and proclaim this Christmas season who you are. Who you are among humans. The deep sacrifice that you have made for every human being that is now headed towards damnation. We thank you that our lives have been touched and changed and transformed by Jesus Christ. But we travail right now for those that is still brokenhearted, that have no clue that there is hope, that are in the midst of despair, that look on the outside to be all right, but on the inside, they're crying out, is there more to life? Who will show me hope? And I'm praying, Lord,
that as we are committing this Christmas as a body of Christ, as a local body of Christ at our Father's house, to pray, to practice, and to proclaim your hope in this Christmas season, that we're going to see a great harvest come January, that we're going to see souls that are being saved, that we're going to see harvest fields totally white and ready for the picking, and that you would have prepared our hearts to do so. In the name of Christ, we bring all of that to you, and we thank you for the opportunity to co-labor with you in the mission of God. Thank you. Remain with us. Give us your wisdom, your courage, your anointing for the rest of this week. And may your Holy Spirit empower us to do the will of God. Amen. Amen. I want to encourage all of you standing here, and some of you didn't come, but I know your hearts, and I know that you want to practice this that was right there. Pray, proclaim, pray, practice, and proclaim.